All right. And as I told the children, that our message today is from John 3. It's actually verses 1 through 17. And I would ask that you stand as we read the word of our Lord. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Would you please pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we hear your words today, Lord, we ask that you write them upon our hearts. Father, you help us to understand them. Lord, make the words that are spoken here your words. Make the things that I am saying the things that you want to have said. Father, hide me behind the cross so that we may see your Son, that we may see Jesus. Father, if necessary, just push me out of the way and let the Holy Spirit have his way here today. For it is you that we have come to see. It is your words that we have come to cherish. Lord, be with us as we hear these things. Write them upon our hearts. Help us to take them from here and share them with others so that they may come to know you. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. There was a time in my life when I thought that I wanted to be a soldier. I was young, and I had just turned 20. I enlisted in the Army, and I was sent to boot camp in Fort Benning, Georgia, and I hated it. I was not meant to be a soldier, and I will say that I did not enjoy the time that I spent there. And as someone who likes to read, it was even worse, because there weren't a lot of options that you were offered. As a matter of fact, there were only two things that while you're in boot camp, you were allowed to read. Those were the field manual and the Bible. And because I had read the field manual like 5 times and I just couldn't read it anymore, I had to read something, anything, than that stupid field manual again. Now you have to understand that at this time in my life, I wasn't a believer. I didn't know, nor did I want to know, anything about Jesus and Christianity. And so I had been avoiding the Bible. I had been doing my best not to read it. But I couldn't read that field manual again. I couldn't, it was just driving me nuts. So I got myself one of those free Gideon New Testaments. And I started reading. And I read Matthew. And then I read Mark. And I was halfway through Luke. And I started to get really frustrated and bored again because it was the same story over and over again. And to me, it was like reading that field manual. It's like the same, you know, I'm just rereading. And it doesn't make sense to me. Now, again, remember, at this time in my life, I was not one who believed in Jesus. And I was reading the Bible as an earthly story, as a novel. I was reading it to basically relieve my boredom. It was just supposed to be entertainment. So not only did this not make any sense to me, it was frustrating. Because I'm just reading the same story over and over again. I don't understand. Why would these Christians read this same story three times? I didn't even know about John. I didn't know it happened a fourth time. And I thought, I'll never read that again. Oh boy, how wrong was I? Years later, when I read it as a believer, I noticed something that I had never noticed before. You know, that I didn't notice when I was reading those stories in boot camp. I noticed the parables. Now, I swear to you that when I read those gospels in Fort Benning, Georgia, those parables weren't there. Those words that Jesus spoke, I don't remember reading them. Now, you have to understand also, as a reader, someone who likes to read, I've been tested on my reading. I have a 95% comprehension rate when I read. I don't remember reading those parables. And yet, as a new believer, they were a huge, beautiful revelation to me. How is that possible? How did I not see the Word of God? How do we overlook the words that might save us? You know, we can even look at Nicodemus in our story here today, right? He was a Pharisee. He's one who should be knowledgeable, one who was a scholar of Scripture and should know it back and front, right? He should know what God's word means. And yet, as Jesus, you know, we see Jesus talking with him, he seems confused, as though he just doesn't understand, even though he should know, right? I mean, Jesus even says to him in verse 10, Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things?" I mean, how could someone like Nicodemus, how could someone like a Pharisee study Scripture all their life and then miss what God was saying to them? And yet, we do. I mean, there's more about this in our passage. And what we see here is, as Jesus is speaking, we see he's actually using quite a bit of wordplay. And I know it's hard to believe. And I know it's weird that Jesus and I are in the same boat here. We both like to use puns. But Jesus actually uses a pun when he's talking to Nicodemus. When Jesus tells Nicodemus that one must be born again, the Greek word that's used for born again can also mean born from above. But Nicodemus, who is a Jew, he overlooks this. And what he hears is born again. But why? Why does he hear it this way? Why does Nicodemus only hear the born again part and not being born from above? Maybe it's because Nicodemus grew up in a Jewish culture. I mean, growing up as a Jew, the idea that he would not see the kingdom of God would have astounded him. I mean, he's grown up believing that as a Jew, he's one of God's chosen automatically. To Nicodemus, he probably believes that he's already been born into the family. So the idea of being born again, to him, it just seems absurd. To Nicodemus, a Jew would not need to convert to the true faith of Israel. And we look at this, and it's very easy for us to say, well, how is it that Nicodemus didn't understand these words? But the thing is, are we any better? How many times do we hear Scripture misquoted or taken out of context? A good example, think about this. Have you ever watched a movie or a cartoon that you watched as a child, and then as an adult, you suddenly understood the joke? I mean, how many times you watch Aladdin, and suddenly, oh my gosh, I know who, that's Truman Capote that Robin Williams is making fun of, right? You know, the things that we didn't get when we were kids, that's what it's like sometimes when we read Scripture, particularly when we read it from an earthly perspective. When we try to read Scripture as and use it to prosper ourselves in the world, We aren't reading it in the Spirit, are we? We aren't hearing what Jesus is telling us. Jesus displays this in verse 11 through 12 where he says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" And we see that, don't we? I mean, sometimes a piece of scripture, we've read it 100 times, but it will have a new meaning for us. But what about those that we try to share it with? What about those that we try to help them understand what we believe? Do we have similar conversations with others as Jesus did with Nicodemus? And when we do, are we sharing through the Spirit or are we trying to do it for a worldly reason? See, I remember once I was trying to share the gospel with someone who was a friend of mine, and he claimed to be an atheist. He claimed that he didn't believe in God at all. And when I asked him why, he started telling me about all these things that didn't make sense to him in the Bible and how science had disproven all these things in the Bible. And the next thing I found myself doing was trying to explain them to him. I was trying to explain how evolution has all these scientific failures and it doesn't quite make sense with what we see. And then I began to explain about how the Bible is probably the most archaeologically most accurate document from the ancient world. And I continued to argue with him along those lines, but the problem was that I was arguing from a worldly perspective. See, that brings us back to what Jesus was saying about the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. Nicodemus explains in verses 5 through 8, Jesus explains to Nicodemus in verses 5 through 8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." See, I was trying to share the gospel to someone who was born of the flesh, with the flesh, and through the flesh. Now, don't get me wrong. All the things that I argued are evidence that the Bible is true. But as I was speaking to my friend, I was neglecting to share something extremely important to him. And you can say, well, what were you missing? Well, my friend Mike, you know Pastor Mike, right? He reminded me of this when I was sharing this story with him. What Mike said to me was that it's like what Jesus used to share the Spirit when he was sharing with Nicodemus. See, what my buddy Mike said was this: we can share all the true things about the Bible and how true it is, but did you forget to tell him that Jesus loves him? Ooh. I realized that I had forgotten, in my zeal to provide the truth, I'd forgotten to tell him the best truth of all. I'd forgotten to tell him that Jesus loves him. How many of us have done that without meaning to? We try so very hard to show the truth, but sometimes we forget that others may be just as lost as we were. And we show the truth, but we don't show the love. We show the gospel, or we show the law instead of the gospel. Yet God says, "My word will not return void." You know, this passage that we are sharing today is Jesus sharing witness. It's Jesus showing Nicodemus the truth of the gospel, and it's a model for us as well. For Jesus provides the truth all throughout this while he's talking to Nicodemus. But what else does he tell Nicodemus? What very important thing does Jesus share with us? What does he share with us that we so desperately need to hear? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Jesus tells Nicodemus of God's great love for the world. Jesus tells us through this of his plan to save us. Jesus is essentially telling us what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, verses 16 through 17. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. We are born again in a love that never ends. And it's always there for us. When I read Matthew, Mark, and half of Luke in boot camp, I didn't understand the word. I wasn't prepared for it. I wasn't ready to receive it because I was only looking at the worldly things in my life. I was using the Bible for entertainment. I was using it to make my life easier, to relieve my boredom. But the Lord, he had a bigger purpose behind it. When I picked up that Bible again and I read those parables, I found that they spoke to me. And as they spoke to me and revealed to me, they became treasured gifts from the Spirit as I was born again. Now, this passage may very well be the most quoted of all time. And there's a reason for that. It's because it conveys the power of the Spirit. It conveys God's love not just for me, but for every single one of us. For each and every human being, God sent his Son out of love. And because it tells us and reveals to us what God is willing to do to convey that love, to show that love to us, by sending his Son to live the life we couldn't, to die the death that we deserve, and to make a way possible for us to be with him. As we come to the table today, let's hold that love in our hearts and recognize that God and his Son have called us to this table to share that with them. That God sent his only Son to be our Savior so that none of us should be lost. Let us pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you sent your Son to show how much you love us. Lord, that you tore the veil in two so that we might be able to have direct access to you through your Son. Thank you for sending your Son to be the righteousness that we can never have. Lord, we thank you for your word. And for the way it continues to lead us and guide us and give us the hope and show us the promise of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We say all this in Jesus' name. Amen.